Greece is the country where the Olympic Games were born nearly 3,000 years ago. Athens was the site of the first games of the modern era in 1896. The Greek people have embraced the games as their birthright and hope that by returning to its cradle, the global sports extravaganza can recover some of its original spirit. NPR's Sylvia Pajoli recently visited Olympia and has this report.
The first official Olympiad was declared in 776 BC, and the games were held in honor of the god Zeus. Hundreds of centuries later, people are still fascinated with the ancient gods who inspired the Olympic Games. They come to visit the ruins of ancient Olympia that lie in a grove of luxuriant wild olive trees and pines.
You feel something here, that's for sure.
Michelle Sloan is a schoolteacher from Seattle.
I don't know if it's just the noise of the trees, but it resonates with some kind of a mystery. It's a really wonderful place to be.
The site is a complex of temples and public buildings, such as the wrestling room and the gymnasium, whose name derives from gymnos, the Greek word for naked, the condition in which all athletes competed. Only Greek males participated. Women were banned even from attending. Violations were punished by tossing the woman down from the nearby Mount Topaean. Some of the most important events were track and field, and they took place in the stadium. The start and finish lines of the 200-meter track still survive.
You get the start sign. 3, 2, 1, nothing else.
A group of Germans dashes down the stadium length. They're all wearing T-shirts with the 5 Olympic rings and the words in German, "The Greek gods travel with us." The religious underpinning of the games ensured that rules were very strict. While there is little evidence that the ancients indulged in substance abuse, other than the stimulant garlic, there are recorded cases of judges being bribed. And there was no tolerance for that kind of cheating. The path leading to the stadium is lined with marble bases, bases of statues to Zeus that have long been lost. The statues were paid for with the fines imposed on athletes who cheated during the games. The name of the athlete and his crime were inscribed in the base, a warning to all future competitors. The ancients were not as magnanimous as the contemporary International Olympic Committee. Classicist David Young says there were no silver and bronze medals.
It was not more important to participate than to win. If you came in second, you were in a shameful position. And you hid from your enemies as you sneaked home down back streets and so on.
The official award for the winner was a crown of wild olive branches, but he was also triumphantly welcomed home and lavishly feted with honors and privileges, often with free meals for the rest of his life, a victory ode penned by the poet Pindar, and even a statue. Winning was a ticket to immortal fame, but it was hard won. Some sports were very brutal. For example, the pankration, a mixture of boxing and wrestling in which contestants fought each other naked and unarmed, using all means except biting and gouging each other's eyes. During the ancient Olympic Games, the Greek city-states observed a sacred truce, a laying down of arms that allowed people to travel to Olympia from all over the country. And even in antiquity, the event served as a magnet for non-athletic pursuits, attracting also poets, politicians, and hawkers. John Ross, author of Olympic Homecoming, describes the atmosphere as a giant county fair that attracted up to 50,000 people.
It looks chaotic, it's messy, it's dusty, there's hot, it's the middle of the summer. There are activities on the side, there's activity at night. And it must have been a fantastic experience. It was only for 5 days every 4 years. At Olympia really was the biggest single gathering of humanity in the ancient Greek world.
The slogan of the 2004 Olympic Games is Welcome Home, and many commentators have expressed the hope that these games will produce a more ethical and even spiritual Olympic movement. But classicist David Young warns against romanticism.
We always think about all the ancient Greeks and all their perfect harmony and so on. That's mostly an invention of the 19th century Victorian people who argued that the ancient Greeks were really 19th century Victorian people.
However, Young concedes that just by taking place in Greece, the games might shed some of their commercial excess and recover the human scale of the ancient games. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Athens.
More coverage of the Olympics, including an Athens diary by NPR correspondents and editors, is at npr.org.